Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Folks, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul. You're listening to Financial Survival. And yes, Melody is still a couple, back until Monday, but I hope she's had a good few days off. I haven't bothered at all. I haven't talked to her. Haven't even texted her because I want to give her some time away from everything, including me. So anyway, we're glad you're with us today. This is the 25th day of March 2023. I'm sorry, 24th day of March. 24 March, 2023. It's Friday already, and we're going to start off always with the metals and the markets. But again, I want you to understand, listen to our program here, folks. It's all about trying to help you understand things and make the right decisions, hopefully, for the future. You know, I'll say this getting started. No one except God Almighty knows the future the way it's going to be exactly. All we can do is mere mortals that try to put our trust in the Heavenly Father through Christ, His Son, and understand what's going on in the world, to plan for our futures on this earth for ourselves and our children. That's all we can do, and that's why we're here, to try to bring news and information to you that maybe help you make decisions, folks, that maybe will bless you later and your children even later than that. But anyway, let's get started with metals. Metals, two were down a little bit and two were up a little bit. Gold was down a little bit, 1640, but still 1977.10. Pecking very close to $2,000 mark right now, but down 1640. Silver's up one penny, 23.21. Platinum was down $5 to 980. Palladium was up $2 to 13.70. So mixed in the metals, and that's, what can I say, it's just what it is. And the markets, the American markets were up slightly. Nothing to get excited about, but up a little bit. The Dow was up 75 points to 32,180. NASDAQ was up 13 points to 11,801. S&P was up 15 to 39,63. Overseas market, the DAX was down 0.166% to 14,957. The FTSE was down 1.25% to 7,405. Hang Seng was down 0.67% to 19,915. Nikkei was down 0.13% to 27,385. USDX was up 0.56 to 103.10. Oil was down 83 cents to 69.13. The 10-year yield was down 0.024 to 3.38%. So not a huge change in any direction on anything there, including the markets and metals. But folks, I want you to please understand that gold and silver both, and metals, period, are going to go through the roof. I don't know the time and dates. I don't do that. I will never try to set times and dates. That's just not right. But nonetheless, gold is holding steady at pecking on 2,000. Silver's going towards 24 again. We're going to see a lot of things go up in the future. I'm certain. I am positive that the economic outlook for the world, but I live in America, is not rosy at all. I promise you that. Russia and China are discussing going to the Petro Yuan. I'm sure India and other nations join them, and Mexico wants to also, if they go to the Petro Yuan, Mexico wants to join them in the Petro Yuan, which means we have no petro dollars, which means we have a dollar's worth nothing at all. So I would think you need to consider these things. And if you think inflation is bad now, wait till the dollar is totally useless. Then you say, well, what's next, preacher? Well, I'll tell you what's next. Cashless society, that's what's next. CBDCs, that's what's next. That's coming. That's here. It's on the verge of being here. Now, I want to just share with you a few points on what a cashless society will look like. These are things maybe we haven't taken time to consider because, you know, right now we're still bumping around with paper in our pockets. We call money. That's not money. But it's still usable to a point. They accept it for a gallon of gas or a gallon of milk. Or, you know, you can use it at yard sales. Well, that's going to change. What will a cashless society look like? Well, let's take a look. This internet post provides a glimpse into a dark future in a society without cash and banks control every cent that you own. I'll make this statement even clearer. The bank controls every cent that you don't own because you won't have it. A cashless society means no cash. Zero. It doesn't mean mostly cashless, and you can still use a wee bit of cash here and there. Cashless means fully digital, fully traceable, fully controlled. I think those who support a cashless society aren't fully aware of what they're asking for. A cashless society means no more tuck-away cash for those preparing to leave domestic violence. And I'll say this, too. No more tuck-away cash, put money a little bit back to go on maybe a short vacation. No more tuck-away cash for any reason. No more purchases a marketplace unless you want to risk bank transfer fraud. No more garage sales. No more cash donations to hungry homeless you pass. No more cash slipped into the hands of a child from their grandparent. No more money and birthday cards. No more piggy banks or tooth fairy for your child. No more selling up bits and pieces from your home that you no longer want, need for a bit of cash in return. Less choices of where you purchase based on affordability. What a cashless society does guarantee, banks have full control of every single cent you own. Every transaction you make is recorded. All your movements and actions are traceable. Access to your money can be blocked at any time at the click of a button when or if banks need clarification from you, which could take weeks, 100 questions answered, and 500 passwords. If your transactions are deemed in any way questionable by those who create the questions, your money will be frozen for your own good. We all need to take off our blinkers. Forget about cash and being dirty. Cash has been around for a very, very long time, and it gives you a control over how you trade with the world. It gives you independence. Well, that's going to end, folks. That is going to end in a very near future if they go the way they look like it's going. And I've been getting information from good sources that they could come in as early as July. Now, I'm not setting dates. I don't believe in setting dates. The sources I have are not just blown smoke, and these are good, reliable sources. But this could happen as early as July this year. Think about that. And let's say it doesn't. Let's say it takes another 6 months, another year or two, maybe even longer. How are you going to prepare? What are you going to do? I will tell you this, that a little bit of gold and silver, especially the pre-64 coins, will be awful handy for bartering then. Because it'll still be valuable no matter what. By that day, I started to read an article, I think it was this past Wednesday. I didn't get a chance to read about Trump, comparing Trump with Jesus Christ. We're going to do that. But I want to go through a few more articles about him before we get to that one article about Trump compared to Jesus Christ. And I hate to even say that. That sounds blasphemous. Sounds blasphemous just to say that. But I'm not made of them. I didn't write the article, okay? But this is the latest what we're talking about on Trump. Trump ratchets up violent rhetoric, warns of death and destruction over possible charges. Whether you agree with what's going on with Trump or not, and I don't agree with it. I think it's a witch hunt, like he says. I think he tried to be a witch hunt on him from the time he's elected, a time before he's elected, even, in 2016, and still going on today. Do I like Trump? Nope. Will I vote Trump? Nope. Trump let a lot of people down on January 6th, and they're still paying the price for following him. But anyway, one day after posting what many saw as insightful language on social media, former President Donald Trump took things to the next level, warning of potential death and destruction if he were to be charged with a crime. It's not clear which crime he's referencing, as he's currently under investigation for many crimes. But it seems like the most likely case is the one being pursued by Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg for falsifying business documents and allegedly covered up hush money payments to adult film star Stormy Daniels. And again, I say this, why would you take the word of a prostitute over an ex-president? I don't care if maybe they're both equally evil in their own way. But how do you even lean towards one or the other as far as morality goes? Last weekend, Trump predicted he would be arrested. However, that never materialized, and the DA's office pushed back, saying that the former president had misled the public about a looming arraignment. Trump wrote on social media, on Truth Social, What kind of person can charge another person in the case of a former president of the United States who got more votes than any sitting president in history and leading candidate by far for the Republican Party nomination with a crime when it is known by all that no crime has been committed, and also knowing that potential death and destruction in such a false charge could be catastrophic for the country? Why and who would do such a thing? Only a degenerate psychopath that truly hates the USA. It is also known that potential death destruction in such a false charge could be, anyway. One can only wonder what sort of death destruction would come as a result of his arrest. So Trump said to, obviously, Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg and his cohorts are degenerate psychopaths that truly hate the USA. I do believe that. I have no problem with that. I believe that. I do. Again, am I a Trumper, a Trumpeteer? No way. I don't like Donald Trump. But I would be hesitant to say anything good about the DA either. Trump posts disturbing baseball bat photo with Alvin Bragg threatens death and destruction. Now, if you go online and see this, Trump standing behind a picture of the baseball bat, standing behind the head of Alvin Bragg. Donald Trump on Friday threatened death and destruction if he's criminally charged in New York, writing the shocking social media warning after posting an image of himself holding a baseball bat next to Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's head. They are human scum, the 76-year-old former president wrote in one post, asking why Bragg refused to do the right thing and call it a day. Again, I have no problem with what he's saying. I don't. But is that the pot calling the kettle black? That's my question. I mean, what part of moral ground are either one of them standing on? You tell me. Who do you believe? A crooked DA? A womanizing president who knows what else? Or a porn star? Who do you want to believe? Which one of those three would you elect for president? Which one would you vote for? You know, I'm laughing, but it's not funny, is it? It's not even the least bit funny. The ex-president talked about going around grabbing women between their legs. He said he's more pro-homosexual. He used the word gay. He's more pro-homosexual than Hillary Clinton was. Why would I, as a man of Christ, vote for somebody like that? And why would I take the word of a prostitute or a crooked government official called a DA? Why do you take their word? Now, the article is going to read the other day and get to. I'm going to read it right now, at least part of it. Who had it worse, Trump or Jesus Christ? In mega world and Christian nationalism circles, Many Trump supporters see his imminent arrest as eerily similar to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. I can't believe people are saying that. That is such blasphemy. That is such insanity. That's such stupidity. Some of Donald Trump's supporters can't help but see similarities between the plight of their beloved former president, who is in hot water, legally speaking, for alleged schemes surrounding hush money to an adult film star, and the suffering of Jesus Christ. Golly. The Manhattan District Attorney's Sheriff's Office is reportedly preparing to indict Trump in relation to a $130,000 payment from his lawyer and fixture Stormy Daniels in exchange for her silence prior to the 2016 election. Trump has tried to cast himself as a victim of political persecution by evil and sinister people who are killing our nation as we sit back and watch in a series of blustering social media posts in recent days. The former president has long played a key role in the imagination of Christian nationalists who believe America is an inherently Christian nation, should have Christian laws, and that Trump is their savior. Christian nationalist language has seeped into MAGA world rhetoric, but Trump's imminent arrest has taken it to new heights. Now, I'm going to say this. America was in the early 1600s, founded by the Puritans and Pilgrims, it was a Christian nation. It was basically a theocracy. Oh, yes, it was. By the late 1700s, folks, by the time the Declaration of Constitution was written, we strayed far off that base, and we went downhill ever since then. But anyway, we were. Still should be. I agree. But we're not. Lawyer Joseph McBride, who's representing a handful of January 6th defendants, thinks that the timing of Trump's likely arrest is notable. President Trump will be arrested during Lent, a time of suffering and purification for the followers of Jesus Christ. McBride wrote on Twitter, as Christ was crucified and then rose on the third day, so too will Donald Trump. I didn't say that. I will never say that. And, oh well. When he faced some pushback on comparing Trump's plight to Jesus Christ's hours-long torture, McBride doubled down. Jesus loves Donald Trump. Jesus died for Donald Trump. Jesus lives inside Donald Trump, McBride tweeted. Deal with it. Yes, Christ died for Donald Trump. Christ died for Stormy Daniels. Christ died for the DA in New York. Christ died for everyone and to pay for the sins. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And he's so willing to come in and live in us in the presence of the Holy Spirit once you're born again. But a born-again individual is changed from the inside out, and we don't see them bragging about grabbing women between their legs. Deal with it. Other Trump supporters see eerie similarity between the Manhattan DA and the Romans who crucified Jesus. Rome tried to silence a peaceful leader via political persecution and ended up creating the most pervasive and permanent religious figure in all world history. MAGA world influencer Rihanna Daly wrote on Twitter, and I'm not going to say what she said. Good F-word luck, New York. So this is supposed to be an individual comparing Christ to Trump and using the F-word to describe it. You figure it out. You figure it out. Which way do you want to go? You figure it out. Which way you leaning? I'm not here to preach a sermon today, folks, but I'm just telling you the truth. This is really happening in our country. Back in the 1960s, before a lot of y'all were born, the Beatles were a hit in America. I mean, they were the latest rage, so to speak. It was all a brainwashing scheme to get them that way, but I won't get time to get in there right now. But the American public was brainwashed in the idea of thinking they were the greatest in the world. But nonetheless, one of them said that they're more popular than Jesus Christ. And every radio station in America quit playing the music until they apologized for what they said. No one played the Beatles any longer in the United States of America. Today we have Christians using the F word and calling Trump Jesus. I see something wrong with that. Maybe you don't. But I do. That's how much this nation's changed in my lifetime. And it's not getting any better, I'm afraid. At the break, we've got a lot more to talk about, folks. Don't go away. So much more to share with you.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you.
All righty, folks, we're back in. This is Pastor Butch Paul. You're listening to Financial Survival, and you do need to call Melody, folks. I'm not just saying that. 800-375-4188. Now, I'm not saying there aren't other good dealers out there in precious metals, but Melody's been the best I've ever dealt with. And, folks, I've been doing this for a lot of years. I'm sure there's others out there, but I've looked at others. They were flashier. They had full-color catalogs. They did TV ads, all kinds of things. But they had no better product than what Melody does. And some of them charged at least 50% more than what Melody charges for the product. They have to cover their flashy ads and TV ads and the flashy catalogs. Melody Cederstrom is down to earth and totally honest in what she does. I've never, ever heard a complaint by Melody Cederstrom, ever. People that bought from her and people sold back to her, and I'm one of them, have always been treated fairly. 800-375-4188. I want to read part of an article here entitled, Why is China Hoarding Food? Experts warn China's massive food hoarding will lead to food shortages in America. China is hoarding a massive amount of food, and the U.S. Department of Agriculture confirms, now this is not me, folks, USDA confirms China will soon have 69% of the globe's corn reserves, 60% of its rice, and 51% of its wheat. What's that mean to the rest of the world, including Americans? Food shortages. Control the food, control the people. Right now, there are 38 million Americans struggling with food insecurity, And experts say more grocery hoarding may come as disruptions push America's food supply near its breaking point. John Boyd, a junior, a fourth-generation American farmer, warns food shortage is coming. As a result of this crisis, survival of food is more important than ever. So, yeah, it is. But China already has in control, according to USDA. 69% of the globe's corn reserves, 60% of the rice, and 51% of the wheat. Think about that. Think about that. Now, this is some financial news. Walmart's laying off hundreds of U.S. workers at five e-commerce fulfillment centers. Hundreds of workers at five U.S. Walmart facilities that fulfill email e-commerce orders are being asked to find jobs within 90 days at other companies' locations, a spokesperson confirmed the Reuters. About 200 workers in Petrickstown, New Jersey, and hundreds of others at Fort Worth, Texas, Chino, California, Davenport, Florida, and Bethlehem, PA, were let go due to reduction of or elimination of evening and weekend shifts, the spokesman said. The layoffs at Walmart, a retail bellwether because of its size, could be a harbinger of further turmoil in the U.S. economy. Now, folks, I agree with that. I mean, Walmart is huge. And it could be foretelling of things, something that happened in the coming economy in this country very near future. It could be a harbinger of bad news, which many economists predict could enter recession this year. Fears of an upcoming recession have already led retailers to announce 17,456 job cuts so far in 2023. And we're only into the last part of March. Almost 18,000 job cuts already, retailers, compared to 761 in the same time period last year. Well, think about that, folks. Amazon, Neiman Marcus, and Lidl are among retailers cutting jobs, largely corporate staff. 17,456 compared to 761 this time last year. I don't think we should just sneeze at that. I really don't. I don't think it's anything to take lightly at all. Obviously, they're laying them off because the business isn't there. What happened to the business? Where did it go? Largest jobs website lays off thousands of employees. If you're watching TV, and I do watch it sometimes, watch a little bit of the TV. I like some of the reality shows on TV that I know are legit. They're not made up hoaxes. I enjoy it. There's a company there called Indeed that helps you find workers. Well, it is rather ironic that while the unexpected weekly drop in initial jobless claims highlights the structural shortage of workers in a very tight labor market, internet job search platform Indeed plans to lay off approximately 2,200 employees, representing 15% of its workforce. In a blog post, Indeed CEO Chris Himes expressed that he was heartbroken to share that I have made the difficult decision to reduce our headcount through layoffs. We anticipate we'll be letting approximately 2,200 people go. This is roughly 15% of our team. This cut comes from nearly every team, function, level, and region at the Indeed and Indeed Flex, Himes wrote. He warned about mounting microeconomic headwinds that will dent revenues. It's becoming increasingly likely that HR tech revenue will decline in fiscal year 2023 and potentially again in 2024. Now, which many tech companies, the CEO acknowledged the era of excessive hiring in recent years. So he said, we hired too many in the past. We got too hot and too heavy and hired too many. With future job openings at or below pre-pandemic levels, organization is simply too big for what lies ahead. We need clarity, focus, and urgency to ensure that all of our energy is directed towards investing in our future. We have held out longer than many other companies, but the revenue trends are undeniable. So I've decided to act now. What it means, revenue trends are undeniable, they're losing money. That's what they mean. So they got to cut staff, they got to cut expenses. Just that simple. That's not complicated, is it? Even I can figure that one out. Peter Schiff says more bailouts are coming down the pike. The dust continues to settle after the failure of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank and ensuing government bailout. Many people in the mainstream seem to think the crisis has passed. But a closer look at the condition of the banking system reveals these two banks were just the tip of the iceberg. I don't like to hear anybody say that. Schiff is not always my favorite commentator on financial things, but he's been pretty much right on the last few months. Peter Schiff appeared on Newsmax Wake Up America to talk about the financial crisis. He said that there are more bailouts to come. Peter emphasized that the problem wasn't just two isolated banks going under, saying most U.S. banks are technically insolvent. Let me repeat that. Peter emphasized that the problem wasn't two isolated banks going under, saying most U.S. banks are technically insolvent. This is a result of a dozen years of 0% interest rates and quantitative easing. The Federal Reserve created the first financial crisis with artificially low interest rates. And the current financial crisis is actually even worse because it kept interest rates even lower for longer. One of the hosts noted that Silicon Valley Bank filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy and asked what happens next. I think what happened next, says Schiff, unfortunately, is more bailouts. We've already bailed out several banks and their large depositors. The President of the United States is pretending that this doesn't cost him any money. It's going to cost everybody because inflation is the way we're paying for this. Peter pointed out that the Fed's balance sheet is already blowing up. Everybody's bank account is now at greater risk than ever. Maybe not because your bank is going to fail because the government is bailing out and not allowing them that to happen, but because everybody's bank account is going to lose value. Inflation is going to destroy the value of everybody's savings. Well, I think that's pretty obvious, don't you? Indeed I do. And yeah, the dollar, folks, we're losing every day. There's no point in kidding ourselves about that. We're losing every day. That's just the way it is. I mean, the dollar's dropping. Since 1971, the dollar's dropped 85% of value. Now, why did I say that? Because 1971 is a year that I got hitched. Been hitched over 51 years. 85% of my dollar value, my dollars, dropped since 1971. What I could buy for a dollar now cost me 15 cents back in 1971. I.e., 10 loaves of bread for a dollar, 1971. 10 cents a loaf. So I could buy a loaf of bread for sure back then, 15 cents. Think about these things. How much bread can you buy for a dollar now? Not to mention 10 cents. And it's not just here. UK inflation spikes to over 10% amid rising food prices. They say in our country they're smart enough they don't count energy and food. They don't count as inflation, energy, and food because that's two things that we all need, and they're going up at the fastest pace. UK inflation rose again in February to over 10% amid rising food prices. The country's Office for National Statistics has confirmed inflation in UK is once again on the rise, which is reportedly breaching 10% again in February over this same time last year, according to data published by the country's Office for National Statistics. The revelation that inflation was running higher than predicted prompted the Bank of England to put base on interest rates up yet again, a move they believe will cool inflation by constraining new borrowing and reducing the supply of discretionary income. Well, you know, a Fed just raised ours another 0.225% at 5% level now. Well, we're not talking about doing that. UK doing the same thing. They're raising their interest rates, trying to stop their inflation also, folks. This is an effort that is absolutely insane because they keep spending more money to save banks, to save other industries, but raising the interest rates, trying to cut back on inflation. They're printing more money every day or digitalizing more money every day, which causes inflation to go up. They're cutting off the nose, bite your face. But again, governments like inflation. They may say they don't, but they really do. One of the key factors driving the increase is reportedly the price of food and non-alcoholic beverages, which saw a rise in price up closer to 20% over February last year. So not just 10%, folks, closer to 20% rise. According to the ONS report, the 12-month consumer price index hit 10.4% in February amid the rising price of food, which is estimated to have risen by 2% since January of this year. Overall, the price of food and non-alcoholic drinks was 18.2% higher last month than they were in February 2022, so 20% roughly. Does that make a difference in your paycheck, in your purchasing power? Does inflation, can anybody out there beside me tell the difference? And when you go to the store, buy something, can it tell you the difference in what you're spending for groceries, and not to mention electricity bills and water bills or whatever you have? Wow. It's a crisis built on a crisis we never solved. Rick Santilli rages, how can anyone be shocked? When Rick Santilli speaks, traders listen as he channels an unvarnished truth that is so seldom allowed to leak out onto the airwaves and onto the great unwashed eyes and ears. This morning was one of such episodes as he and John Kerman had a brief discussion about the inevitability of the current crisis and what happens next. Many are seeing recession. I don't see a way to avoid it. Is this really a banking crisis? It's a Fed crisis. It's a rate hiking crisis. It's a crisis built on a crisis we never solved. Is it any wonder there's so much volatility in the market? Then a veteran pit trader took it to 11. Listen, folks, we all need to take a step back. How many trillions of dollars of negative securities were hovering through Europe? Now, how could anyone be shocked? I was shocked the news wasn't worse 3 months ago, and now we are starting to see the realities of it. Santilli ends with the reflection of Powell's hypocrisy in enabling Congress, magical monetary theory, and now leaving us all out to dry. Take 2 minutes out of your morning for some refreshing reality. With regard to Santilli's comments on the Fed's dot plot, the market has completely dismissed it, with year-end rate expectation now stunning 150 BPS lower than the Fed expects. As we tweeted following his rant, oh, we solved it all right by printing $20 trillion. Guess how much it will cost to solve the current crisis? Perhaps that is why gold and Bitcoin have been soaring since this banking crisis reemerged from the darkness. Folks, they're heaping trouble upon trouble. They're actually undermining what's left of the economy. I would like to think that maybe they are trying the last ditch effort to turn something around. Maybe it's on with it. They don't know any other way to do it. How else could they correct it? I guess they could just say we owe nothing else and just cancel all debt and move on from there. Wow, what would that lead to? Yellen convenes emergency financial stability meeting on Friday as banking crisis explodes. It's not over, folks. Here comes the panic. Bloomberg just reported that Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen was signal handling responsible for stoking and restarting the bank crisis on Wednesday, which until that day was easing back, with her comments that nobody in charge was even talking about a uniform deposit insurance, let alone working on one, convened the heads of the top U.S. financial regulators Friday morning for a previously unscheduled meeting of the Financial Stability Oversight Council. The meeting will be closed to the public, the Treasury Department said in a statement. The Treasury didn't say what time the meeting would begin, and it wasn't immediately clear whether the council would issue a statement following the meeting. The step comes as regulators continue efforts to instill calm in financial markets and among bank depositors following the recent failure of two mid-sized lenders in the U.S. and the near collapse of banking giant Credit Suisse Group AG before this government broker did take over by rival UBS Group AG. So there you go. They held an emergency meeting this morning, close to public. Now, maybe later on tonight they'll talk about what happened there. I don't know. I haven't heard a word yet. Maybe you have. I just know that we don't know at all. They're not telling us everything, and they're not going to. They're not going to share everything, folks. They can't. People would panic. I don't think you'll be able to fix this. This is going to drive us into the digital currencies, that the sources I've talked to are right, we may only have about 3 months to prepare for that. If it starts in July, folks, you have about 3 months to go before we run into that, if it happens. Well, better way to get us into it, but to scare us into it. Back at the break.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks, we are back in. This is Financial Survival. Melody back with us next week. She took a few days off, and I envy her. I really do. But anyway, she'll back Monday, hopefully, with us and be back on the air with us. I know she's having a good time. She deserves it. Believe me, she does. She's a hardworking lady. And you need to call her, like I said, 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. Call and talk to her and tell that you listen to the program. You thought maybe you might want to give her a call and check some prices. I mean, really, it's worth it. Back to some banking news, then we'll get on some other things. Deutsche Bank shares slide after a sudden spike in the cost of insuring against its default. Deutsche Bank shares fell on Friday following a spike in credit default swaps Thursday night as concerns about the stability of European banks persisted. Folks, this is a worldwide phenomenon. This isn't here, and I say worldwide. I'm not sure if it's affecting China much or Russia much, but as far as the Western nations, it's all tied together. The Frankfurt-listed stock was down 14% at one point during the session, but trimmed losses to trade down 6% at roughly 4 o'clock p.m. London time. The German lenders' Frankfurt-listed shares retreated for a third consecutive day and have now cost more than a fifth of their value so far this month. A fifth of their value, folks, so far this month. Credit default swaps, a form of insurance for a company's bondholders against its default, leapt to 173 basis points Thursday night from 142 base points the previous day. The emergency rescue of Credit Suisse by UBS in the wake of a collapsed U.S.-based Silicon Valley Bank has triggered contagion concern among investors, which was deepened by further monetary policy tightening from the U.S. Federal Reserve on Wednesday. Swiss and global regulators and central banks had hoped that the brokering of Credit Suisse's sale to its domestic rival would help calm the markets. But investors clearly remain unconvinced that the deal will be enough to contain the stress in the banking sector. Wow. I don't know what to say. This isn't over. I would like to say that we can, whenever Yellen tells us something or Bernanke says something or Biden says something, that we can relax, know it's okay. They're not going to lie to us. They're actually looking after everybody's best interest, and they get everybody's interest at heart. They're trying to do what's right to take care of everybody in this country as far as giving a stable financial system to live with. But you can't believe them. You can't believe any of them for good morning. So you figure it out. I don't want to tell you, folks. I'm not prepared as much as I want to, I'd like to be. But I'm prepared as much as I can be. I put the rest of my faith in Christ and know that He'll guide me on through this. And I want, again, for my children's sake, I want to have something of value here to leave them if I leave this world. Different topic. Russia threatens to nuke everyone over International Criminal Court arrest warrant for Putin. Now, I'm laughing about this, but it's not funny. Even the rhetoric, if they're just saying this blow off steam, that's it. That's dangerous. As talking to the producer during the break, Todd, it's like two boys with a stick. Well, my stick's bigger than yours. I'm going to beat you up, and next thing you know, one of them gets hit, and the battle starts. They talk it out. They yell back and forth. They threaten each other, and they strut around. And then one of them gets the little spunky and hits one, and then the whole thing breaks loose. Kremlin loudmouth Dmitry Medvedev has made clear anyone who tries to arrest President Vladimir Putin can expect to feel the wrath of nuclear Russia, including all our weapons. The announcement of the International Criminal Court this week that they had issued an arrest warrant for President Vladimir Putin has clearly riled Russia. After threatening to bomb the ICC itself, failed to produce whatever the hoped for response was, former president, Russian president turned National Security Council warmonger Dmitry Medvedev has moved on to threatening to bomb any country that would fulfill its treaty obligations to serve the warrant. Russian security boss responded, folks, I want you to just let this sink in a minute. Following remarks by the German government that if Vladimir Putin happened to visit their country, they will be obliged to arrest him, Medvedev railed during a press event. Let's imagine that it has happened. The incumbent head of a nuclear country, incumbent head of a nuclear country, arrives in, say, Germany, and is arrested. What does it mean? A declaration of war against Russia. In such a case, all our weapons will target the Bundestag, the German Chancellor's office, and so on. Medvedev went on to clarify that arresting Vladimir Putin will be a casus belli, a declaration of war against Russia. Well, I don't want to tell you. I don't have any part in this. And as far as I'm concerned, the National Court of Criminal Appeals can take and stick it. I see no authority in that at all. But the rhetoric going back and forth, well, we're going to arrest your president. And Medvedev said, if you do, we'll nuke you. Which one's carrying the biggest stick right now? Who's going to keep talking to get mad enough to actually swing that stick? And who wants them to swing the stick? That's maybe an even better question. Who's behind the two boys bickering back and forth? Who started the argument over what? Who's egging it on? Think about these things. Would something like this affect your finances? Would something like this affect your life, period? As a matter of fact, would you even live very much longer if this happened? Russia close to persistent nuclear cruise missile attack subs presence off U.S. coast. Russia could have its most powerful and quiet nuclear attack submarines on persistent patrols off either U.S. coast, in the next 2 years, the head of U.S. Northern Command told the Senate Armed Services Committee on Thursday. In response to the question from Senator Joni Ernst out of Iowa on the threat of Chinese and Russian cruise missile submarines operating close to U.S., NORTHCOM Commander General Glenn Van Herk said that the deployments of the Russian Yashin-class nuclear cruise missile attack boats have been deploying more frequently. The risk is absolutely increasing. Within the last year, Russia has also placed their Yashins in the Pacific, he said. Now, not only the Atlantic, but we also have them in the Pacific, and it's just a matter of time, probably a year or two, before that's a persistent threat 24 hours a day. That impact has reduced decision space for national senior leaders in a time of crisis. Well, for whatever it's worth, I have a copy here of the prophecies from Dmitry Dudeman, a gentleman from Romania that came over here, didn't speak English, didn't want to come over to the U.S., didn't like the U.S., came over here to prophesy the U.S., as he was told to, and said that if the U.S. did not repent, they'd burn. He prophesied major cities on the East and West Coast, New York, Miami, San Francisco, other cities, burning. And this makes perfect sense. It's easier to direct a nuclear attack closer to the coast than it is from across the world, isn't it? Things to think about, folks. Things to think about. We can pray it doesn't happen, and I pray it doesn't happen. But deep down inside, I know it's got to happen sooner or later. I know that. I don't like it, but that doesn't change it. Russians reluctantly embrace Chinese cars after Western bans depart. Russia reluctantly embraced Chinese cars after Western brands depart. You know, I never thought about this. I guess China does make cars, but I hadn't really thought about that too much. We don't sell them here, do we? But anyway, as the exodus of Western car makers narrows options for Russian consumers, Chinese automakers are filling the gap, forcing Russians to overcome the reluctance to embrace Chinese brands and stomach the higher prices. Chinese brands such as Havel, Chery and Geely are now account for almost 40% of Russia's new car sales. Data from analytical energy Autostat and consulting company PPK showed up from less than 10% in January and February 2022. Pouncing on the opportunity left by the exit of firms such as Renault, Nissan, and Mercedes. So, yeah, Russia got by them from somewhere. So their sales are up 30% from last year buying Chinese cars. But there are teething problems. Reuters spoke to several Russian car buyers, individuals, and dealerships who perceive the quality of some Chinese cars to be lower than the Western rivals. And industry experts said Chinese manufacturers needed to enhance their reputation even as their market share soars. Stepan, 28, was increasingly driven Chinese cars when using car sharing services, is among those that need convincing. Among his complaints was the smoothness of the drive. So I don't know. But Russia's got to buy them somewhere. So again, maybe Russia isn't buying the quality of the automobiles they like, but they still got cars to drive. So China's supporting Russia, and Russia's supporting China. Our blockade, so to speak, the sanctions, had done no good, will do no good. Not enough that we'll notice it anyway, except to hurt us. Y'all probably heard this already, but U.S. contractors killed in Iranian suicide drone strike in Syria as Biden orders retaliation preceding airstrikes, taking out 11 militants tied to Revolutionary Guard. American contractor has been killed and five service members were wounded when the Iranian suicide drone attack struck a facility on the coalition base in northeast Syria on Thursday, the Pentagon said. Retaliation, President Biden ordered the U.S. Central Command Forces to launch precision airstrikes against facilities used by groups affiliated with Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps, killing 11 pro-Iran fighters. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said the airstrikes against the IRGC and wing of the Iranian military, which is blacklisted as a terrorist group by the U.S., were carried out by F-15 fighter jets. That's the ones I think Biden said we use against Americans if we stood up and fought against government. Okay, F-15. That's what he said, use against us. But anyway, the airstrikes were conducted in response to today's attack, as well as a series of recent attacks against coalition forces in Syria by groups affiliated with the Revolutionary Guard. Austin said, no group will strike our troops with impunity. With impunity, okay. Now, to further escalate the situation over there, after Iran, Saudi Arabia, to establish ties with Syria, sources say. Now, keep in mind that in the Bible, Damascus is mentioned specifically as becoming a heap, a ruinous heap, a city destroyed. It's the oldest city in the world. Will be destroyed right before the end comes, so to speak. It's in your Bible, folks. Look it up. Damascus will be destroyed. Now we're seeing airstrikes in Syria. Now we're seeing Iran and Saudi Arabia reestablishing ties with Syria. And Saudi Arabia has been a so-called friend of the U.S. for many years. Remember the petrodollar? Syria and Saudi Arabia have agreed to reopen their embassies after cutting diplomatic ties more than a decade ago. Three sources with knowledge of the matter said they stepped that would mark a leap forward. Damascus returned to the Arab fold. Contact between Rada and Damascus had gathered momentum following a landmark agreement to reestablish ties between Saudi Arabia and Iran. A key ally, President Bashar al-Assad, the regional source aligned with Damascus, said the reestablishment of ties between Rada and Damascus would mark the most significant development yet in moves by Arab states to normalize ties with Assad, who was shunned by many Western and Arab states after a serious civil war began in 2011. They're regrouping, folks. Regrouping. For what? Against who? America, whether you like to hear this or not, is hated by most nations. I know, folks, I live in America, and I love what this country used to be. I hate what she's become, but I love what she used to be. I understand how you feel. But America has taken her wealth and power and tried to build its empire worldwide. And it has had influence worldwide for many decades. It's coming to an end. Empires that turn corrupt from the inside out never stand long. America's demise is imminent. I don't have a good news story to share with you today, but I'll just bring this up and share with you. We have hope that this world can offer us. You have good people that do live around you. You have family that you care for, I'm sure. While you have time, while they're still with you, your friends, your family, your neighbors, let them know that you're there and you care. Band together, and when things get tough, you'll have each other to lean against to stand with. Do what you can, my friends, to prepare yourself for what's coming. Not just for yourself, but for your family members, and maybe even for neighbors if necessary. The God in charge of it all is still God of all. And people say, well, you don't want to turn this into a preaching program. Well, I'm not preaching. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth the way it is. The God of all creation is still God of all. He'll not be mocked. His word will be proven true eternally. Let us walk in His grace and His favor and do what's right with others, okay? By the grace of God, I'll see you again Monday, and Melody be with us. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I had gotten me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet.